we'll see what God will do for us in just a few minutes. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father and our God, Lord, there's nothing that we need more than to hear from You. And our Father, if You could make it possible tonight, our Father, that we might hear from heaven. Thank You, our Father, for what we've already heard. But Lord, we have this time, and all of these people have come, and all of these faces are turned up toward this pulpit. And Lord, I really don't have anything for anybody. And I pray that You'd help me now in these few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn, if you would, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And I'll just connect up a few things here, and then I'll try to, chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant that all of our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, and all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed him, and that rock was Christ. And with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as some of them. As is written, the people sat down and to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed fornication and fell in one day, 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted Christ and were destroyed of serpents. And neither murmur, as some of them murmured and were destroyed of destroyers. Now all of these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And so what we have in the Old Testament, God has given us figures and types and pictures and examples in the Old Testament that we might learn these lessons. Amen. And I think maybe that's why sometimes the Old Testament maybe is avoided, because the doctrines are in the New Testament, but the living illustrations are in the Old Testament. And God has given us these things, and we might think about some of that was written there, is here people, and they didn't have a King James Bible. Amen? All they had was the tablets written with the finger of God. And they had the presence of God, and they had the power of God, and they ate manna, which is a type, I suppose, of the Word of God and Jesus Christ, and they drank water from a rock. Amen. They were watered by the Holy Spirit of God, if that's the right interpretation of that or the right picture of that. But with them, God was not well pleased. And you can go to a good church and have a good pastor and have a good book. Amen. And you can be an absolute fouled up mess, and God's not pleased with you, and God is not going to bless you. Amen. Amen. That's what we find here in these chapters. Now there is another theme that I'll try to, if I can, connect all this up together, if God will help me. And that is, there is this theme of you and I, that when we were saved, that when Christ died, we died. And our baptism speaks to this figure, knowing this, that we are buried with Him in baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that's in verse 6, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall live with Him, knowing that Christ being dead, being risen from the dead, death dieth no more, death hath no dominion over Him. For he that dieth, he dieth to sin once, but he that liveth, he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Now, that is not the end of the Christian life. That is the beginning of the Christian life. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as to those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. And it is not enough just to be saved. Brother Marvin quoted that verse, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God," God wants us, God calls on us, God beseeches us to offer our bodies a living sacrifice and die unto ourselves that we might live unto Him. I don't know whether you even know what I'm talking about. But everybody that was baptized to that principle. That sin's power is broken in my life. That I do not have to sin. I sin, amen, I sin all I want to. It is not like I went to a school where the school next door had total sanctification. They had the old man burned out of them, and they didn't sin anymore. Their preachers didn't. You'd talk to them, and they had not sinned. Most of them, the majority of them, had not sinned in 7 years. It's hard to find one that hadn't sinned in six or eight. They all hadn't sinned in 7 years. And you begin to question them about that, and what they did, they were making mistakes. Slips. Errors. No. This chapter here says that sin is a conscious thing. In verse 16, "Know you not that whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness." Man is constituted a servant. I'm a servant, and I'm going to serve. And I'll either serve sin, amen, I'll serve my flesh, I'll serve the devil, or I'll serve Jesus Christ. But I'm never going to be independent. Victory in the Christian life is not won through a struggle. A struggle may prove that there's life, but it also proves that it's not abundant life. We're to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. His salvation is enough to save us. He has done enough. Are you satisfied with what God has done through His Son, Jesus Christ? God is satisfied. If you're in Christ, God is satisfied. So it is not a matter of our struggle. It's not a matter of great faith. It's a matter of who we yield ourselves to, servants, to obey. Now, there is a figure back here in the book of Exodus that I'd like to talk to you about. And it's a Pharaoh. And Pharaoh makes four compromises to Moses. Four times Pharaoh tries to get Moses to compromise. And four times Moses answers Pharaoh about his compromise. Now tonight, if I could just set this for you, if it would be all right. Egypt has got to be a type of the world. In the book of Deuteronomy, it talks about Egypt. He said that the land of Cana is not like the land of Egypt. The land of Cana was watered by rain. You had to depend upon God to live in Cana because the land was watered by rain. And he said, it's not like Cana that's watered by rain. Egypt is where they watered their land with their foot, where they waters the land with a foot. You know what that means? That means that they had pumps. They had irrigation pumps. It's called an Archimedes screw is what it's called. It's an auger inside of a log. And they turned that thing, and it was a very efficient pump, and they could pump thousands and millions of gallons of water out of the Nile River and flood their crops, and they didn't need God, and they didn't need rain. They had technology. So Egypt is a type of the world where people depend upon their own efforts and what they can do. And the devil is the leader of the thing. He's the god of this world. And he doesn't want to let people go. He's not pleased with letting people go. And he's not going to sit back and let people go. And God calls this man Moses. And in chapter 2, in the last verse of chapter 2, in the process of time, the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage, and they cried unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard their groaning, and remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and God looked on the children of Israel and had respect unto them. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's a wonderful thing that we have a God who's listening for us, who cares about us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That God would listen to us and God would care about us. And then what do you think about that? And God had respect to them. God had respect to him. There's verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people that are in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. I know their sorrows. Isn't that wonderful? And verse 8, I am come down to deliver them. Who came down to deliver them? I am came down to deliver them. And there you have the faithfulness of God and the humility of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God, don't you? You have all of those things that are involved in the redemption of God's people. But redemption is not always an easy process. There are some young preachers here, and one of the things that young preachers are going to find out is what Moses found out in chapter 5, verse 21. That is, everybody that you go to deliver isn't going to be real tickled to death about your deliverance. That as God begins to work in your life and the devil sees you slipping away, he's going to send hell by the acre. I know they grin on the television. I wish we had a pot plant here. Amen. They got all these TV cameras. If I could strike the right angle, amen, and get the right camera angle on me, some of you would be more comfortable. Because that's what you watch. That's your excuse for having cable. You find out when God begins to work. Listen, lady. Probably a month or 2 months or 6 months before God saves your husband, he'll become mean as a snake. The more under conviction he gets, the rougher he'll get and the sorrier he'll get. And the more he'll buck and grind on you. Just stay in there. Just hang in there. And so Moses is making preparations to deliver these people. They've been praying and asking for deliverance, and he's come to deliver them. But they want, amen, they'd rather have Oral Roberts. They'd rather be swindled, amen, than pastored. Something good is going to happen to you today. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge you, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh, and the eyes of the servants put a sword to slay us. I mean, we began to turn to God, and our boss at work got mad. We passed out of track, and he tried to fire us. Yeah, go ahead. And so God began to work his redemptive process, which is judgment. He wasn't sending down. I was listening to this preacher, and he said, oh, God loves the world. And he said, oh, God so loved the world, one day he reached down and kissed it, and I was caught in the smack. Boy, if you could have ripped his tongue out, I'd have shouted, man. It is not like that. I got saved because I had a clear sense I was going to hell. Deep Holy Ghost conviction. I saved a while before I really felt like God loved me. About 10 years. So it's judgment that's going to deliver these people. Now, I believe like Brother Drummond. I believe we're going out before the tribulation. But I'll tell you, this is something else I believe. I believe we're going to be just like the children of Israel. It's going to get so bad just before the Lord comes, we're going to be glad to go. We got a lot of people that are not looking forward to leaving because they've got it good here. They're going to make it rough. We're going to be glad to go. Now, God, Moses confronted Pharaoh and told him, he said, let my people go in chapter 5. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord. Boy, he didn't find a bit of sympathy in government, did he? The world isn't in favor of anything we're doing. Preacher was telling me about a couple that was This woman had to divorce this man because he was a brutal, drug-addicted, dope-head, dope seller. And so the visitation rites came up. And they decided, well, so many bad things were said about this husband that they were going to have an investigation done to see whether those things were really so. And what they found out was they found out that he sold guns illegally. And he made his living through the illegal gun sales and didn't file any income tax. That he slept with a loaded shotgun in his bed. That he was careless about leaving loaded pistols around the house. That he took drugs. He was a dope head. He had no visible means of support. And here's the little mother, and she's working as a waitress, paying her own way in the world, refusing to take welfare, tithing in her church, paying the 25% tax and the 17% tax and paying 48% tax. And she's an upright citizen. But she goes to a Bible-believing church. When those worldly people got through with that home study, guess who they came down in favor of? A dope-addicted, drug-head, gun-peddling, no-account louse. And that's what the world thinks of you. And your church. And your family and your school, the world is not your friend. But God begins to put it on Pharaoh, and the water's turning into blood, and amen, he gets in a mess with these frogs. Amen. And Moses said, I'll entreat for you. When you want to be delivered from these frogs? And he said, tomorrow. Amen. That's the world, isn't it? That's you. We got some of you sitting right here, and Brother Drummond gave an invitation for salvation, and what you said, I'll spend one more night with the frogs. Now, Moses' changes his attitude toward Pharaoh. First, he's respectful and solicitous. And as the book of Exodus progresses, and Pharaoh breaks his word over and over again, the two greatest lies in America, the check is in the mail, and I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. And the lice, the blood and the lice, and the frogs, and the swarms of flies, and the land is corrupt. And finally, Pharaoh says in chapter 8, verse 25, is the first compromise of Pharaoh. Now Moses' proposition is clear. He said, the God of Israel has met with us, and he has commanded us to go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and worship him there, or he will fall on us and hurt us. And Pharaoh's answer says, I don't know God. I don't care about God. I'll not let you go. And God begins to judge him, and judge his land, and judge his nation, and judge his people, and judge his own household. Now, why 3 days in the wilderness? Why not one day? I suppose with men, I suppose this gang right here, I won't imagine that we could get 12 or 15 miles in a good day. Why 3 days? Why did God say, I want you out in the wilderness 3 days? What has that got to do with what we read a while ago? What has that got to do with I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live? God wants his people on resurrection ground. It's in the resurrection that we have victory over sin. It's in the resurrection that we have victory over Satan. Anything else is coexistence with the devil. Don't you understand that? The carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot what? They cannot please God. God don't want you one day out. away from the world. Some of you are just a day away from the world. You make sure you are. You've made preparations for that just in case you want to return. You don't want to get too far away. And some have gone so far as to get 2 days out. You might as well never left the world, son, because you're going back. God wants you out there. And God wants, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. God wants that to be real in your life. God wants you on resurrection ground. God wants you dead to yourself and alive unto Him. God wants to see a practical outworking of your baptism in your life. And so the first thing Pharaoh says, and Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and he said, go sacrifice to your God in the land. The devil's not opposed to religion. He started more of them than Jesus. He's got more preachers than we've got. His congregations are larger. And they give more money. Print more books. Have more literature. They're on more radio stations. They have more than we've got. The devil's not opposed to religion. He's just opposed to that religion. You're never going to be free of Satan's power until you die to yourself and live unto Him. It is take up your cross daily, isn't it? And do you realize, don't you, that your cross is not your mother-in-law? And it isn't your lumbago. Boy, Brother Hasbrook preached a great message on a cross. If you could ever hear that message, you ought to get a tape of that message, that a cross is voluntary. Amen. Your lumbago isn't voluntary. Your arthritis isn't voluntary. Your mother-in-law, well, I don't know about that. But I'm telling you right now, those circumstances and events in your life are not what? They're not your cross. A cross is something that you bear. Jesus did not die on the cross for Himself. Who are you dying for? You see, we have this gang that just wants to have better, do better, and feel better. And Jesus didn't die so you could have better, do better, and feel better. He died to restore to God what sin had ruined. Somebody said Jesus would have died if I was the only one here. Jesus would have died if nobody was here to redeem God's creation. Thank God He included us. Amen. Thank God He died for our sins. How many of our sins did He die for? All sin. How saved are we in Jesus Christ? Perfectly saved. The devil says, just offer up your sacrifices here in the land. I mean, you know, there's no need for you to leave the Southern Baptist Convention. You can transform it from the inside. There's no need for you to take a stand in that church that doesn't believe the Bible. There's no need. Just stay right there. There's no need just to stay, to get out of some place that's dead as you are. Just stay in the land. Some of you are like that. You're going to keep your hair cut like they cut theirs? You're going to keep your television? You're going to have your cable? You're going to pipe in hell boiled over? You're not going to change your life. You're going to add Jesus to your life and heaven to your life, but you're not going to get out of the world. That's what Pharaoh wants. He said, I'll let you alone. Go ahead. Worship God. Have a prayer. Sing a song. Amen. Just don't leave my dominion. Just don't make Jesus Christ your what? Your Lord. Your all in all. What did Moses say? Moses said, look here. Moses said, It is not meet for us to do so. For we shall sacrifice, for shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to our God?
How about that? Yeah.
Shall we put our hand in the hand of him that walked on the water? We won't buy the Monday tapes. We'll keep our sandy patties. I'd just soon have a cow patty. Don't take no stand. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not stone us? The world hates a hypocrite. Pseudo-religious. Go to church and sing and amen and do little psalms and things and then go home and live wicked as hell. Join the lodge and belong, amen, to the lodge and go down the Eagles and watch dirty movies and go to church on Sunday and Eagles on, amen, go to the Eagles on Friday night and Sunday school on Sunday morning. The devil don't care. He'll encourage you. He don't want you to cancel your lodge membership. He wants you to hang around the firehouse. He wants you at the domino parlor, whatever it is you do. He wants you to have a little religion, just enough to satisfy you and make you sanctimonious and pious. So when somebody that's full of God says, "Brother, are you saved?" And you, "Oh, yes." Some idiot was on the, that says menorah up here on, menorah. No, it's a menorah up here on, and the Ku Klux Klan's going to put up a cross. I'm going to go see that, glory to God. And they said, "Well, that's a bunch of hate and bigotry. Or all religion stands for loving everybody." It does not. It's killed more people than you can count. It's been the greatest divider of men there ever has been. And there's no way in the world that we're going to offer the sacrifice. I mean, my wife, just before I got saved, my wife took me to a Methodist church. Oh, Lord, I told her, is that all it is? I mean, that guy standing up here in a dress, saying a bunch of pious, bunch of gas. I mean, he wasn't doing nothing, man. Nothing was getting on. I'm going home. I went home in the middle of that thing. And then she took me to a Southern Baptist church, and a lady got up there, and she said, she was the song leader, and she says, "We'll sing this song for joy, and we'll sing this song for peace, and we'll sing this song for happiness." And I said, I'll see you later. I'm old. Amen. I'd have rather heard anything than that. God help a man who'll get in something like that. The devil doesn't care. But look at what Moses said in verse 27. He said, "We will go 3 days' journey in the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he hath commanded us." Not as he had suggested. Well, people don't like that, do they? As he hath commanded. And so Pharaoh, here's his second compromise. He's slick. And Pharaoh said, "I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away." Now you're in church. And they're preaching the Bible. Well, it's getting quiet, isn't it? Y'all feel it coming, can't you? It's the truth. But you're not on resurrection ground. You're still under conviction about all of your worldly things that you've got. Man, can you remember that? I wondered sometimes, I thought, man, am I doing anything right? Is anything about me right? And guess what? It wasn't. There's only one thing right about us, and that's Jesus. Our flesh is corrupt. It will not be changed. It will not be improved. You cannot improve upon it. You cannot sanctify the flesh. But that's what, listen, I suppose there are more people in the Independent Baptist Church that have not gone very far away. They do not have any real victory in their life. They don't have any real prayer life. They don't have any real private devotional time. They're in the church, but they're in what? They're in the world. They've just not gotten very far away, have they?
Oh, yeah.
I looked up. Somebody sent me a catalog of them. I counted them. A third of them are about demons. That's what he wants you to have. He wants you to entertain your children with demons and magic. And you think it's innocent. You're not going to get out of the world. You're going to keep your worldly associations. We was in a church. I can't tell you where we were because when I was there, we was in a church and the preacher was sitting across from me and one of my men, and somehow or another we got down to, made the mistake of getting on politics, and he told us that CNN was just a real good news program, that he just watched it all the time, and they just reported the facts. They didn't make any comments. And one of my men started, he was going to argue with him, and I changed the subject, and I wasn't going to argue with that preacher. But I'm going to tell you something. He was discouraged when I got there. He was discouraged when I left. He told me, I've been here 11 years, and God hasn't really raised up a leader among my men. He said, I don't know. He said, these people are just, I can't imagine what's wrong with these people. He said, I just can't, they just won't respond. That thing was as dead. It was dead. And I didn't really know why it was dead till we had dinner with him, and I saw why it was dead. His wife didn't work. She was a businesswoman. And she dressed like a businesswoman and talked like a businesswoman. She came up to me and she said, I wished you'd talk to my husband. She said, I want him to buy me this exercise machine, and he can't see that he's got all these guns and he spends all this money on these guns, and he ought to buy me this exercise machine. I said, lady, I said, exercise machines depreciate in value. Guns go up. Guns are an investment. Leave him alone. Foot on that exercise machine. That thing will burn out a motor. Amen. That Model 12 shotgun will be worth $2,000 next year. Amen, amen, amen. But the church was dead. What's the matter with this old boy? He's just not going to get what? He ain't going to get very far away. And whenever his wife sang in the choir, she closed her eyes. Then all you could see was green because her eyes were, amen, the backside of her eyeballs were green. God help. And all it was what? That's all. I heard it. It's Harry Nick. I don't know if Harry Nick said it or not. But somebody, preacher, is about like Nick says. He said, I don't mind if you wear a little makeup. He said, bless God, they'll put it on with a caulking gun, you know. I don't know. But we're not talking about the church members. We're talking about who? Who are we talking about? We're talking about the pastor's wife. And the pastor justifying cable television. You cannot be a member of the Lebanon Baptist Temple if I know you have cable TV. You cannot. I just assume you go to the movies or drink. And if you have cable TV, you're going to go to the movies and drink. Just get not what? Just don't get very far away. Listen, you got to change your friends.
Amen.
You cannot. You got to change your friends. I've had people ask me, we have a Christian school, and I've had people ask me, and she said, you know, I can't even let my children play with the children in the neighborhood. What should we do about that? You can't. You can't. You better find you a church where the preacher cares about your children and does something about providing something for them. You better do that. But isn't that where we're at? Get not what? Just don't get too far away, son. Just keep enough worldliness around. Because you don't want to become a fanatic and die to what? Yourself. And that's where the devil wants you. Because then you'll have to coexist with him, and you won't have any power over him. And he can dominate you and control you. Moses says, no, sir. How many days are you going to get out in the wilderness? We're getting 3 days out, and Moses said, behold, we will go out from thee, and I will treat of thee that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh and from his servants and from his people tomorrow, and let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more, not letting the people go. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and Pharaoh hardened his heart in verse 32. And then we come to chapter 10, verse 7, and Pharaoh's servants say unto them, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord our God. Knowest thou not that Egypt is destroyed? And Moses and Aaron were brought before Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old and with our sons and with our daughters and our flocks and our herds. And we will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be with you, and let you go. And your little ones, look to it, your evil is before you. Not so now, ye that are men, serve the Lord. What did he say? You men, go ahead and go. But you leave what? You leave your children with me.
Mark right there, one.
Yeah, help.
Put a quarter right to Peter.
Brother Colson and I have been discussing a lot of things, and we were talking about the state of Canada. Canada is a democratic republic, just like America. And he was talking about how all of their social systems and through some of the things in Canada, Canada makes laws that govern the church. They don't have the freedom that we do here. They've already lost those freedoms. I won't go into all, but anyway, I said, Brother Colson, all of these bureaucrats and all of these politicians are all socialist and communist. He said, that's right. I said, where did they become socialist and communist? Where did they become socialist and communist? Well, come on, where did they become socialist and communist? Where did they become socialist and communist? Where? 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 What kind of school?
Public. State. Yeah.
I said, would it ever ring anybody's bell that here's a constitutional republic, but its schools teach socialism and what? Communism? If the schools of a democratic republic teach socialism and communism, you've got to figure that the philosophy of the government is what? It's a socialist government. It's a communist government. That socialists and communists are running what? Our government. But you don't need to take your children out of public school. And if you're a preacher, you don't need to open a Christian school. After all, it's a lot of trouble. And the state might come down on you. But you don't need to. If you're a pastor and you say, God's not led me to have a Christian school, well, by all means, then don't do like Brother Estep does and cooperate with somebody who has one. Don't do that. I mean, you know, if you're not doing it, it isn't worth what? If you're not doing it, it couldn't be worth doing and supporting. Because you haven't thought of it. You know why some people don't put their children in Christian school? We can't what?
Oh, that's not true.
We can't afford it. The devil doesn't care if every man in this room surrenders to preach
and gets 3 days out in the wilderness, as long as you leave your children in public school, you'll die, and they'll bury you and cremate you and turn your church into a lodge. Children are a heritage of the Lord. They're all the wealth poor people like us are ever going to have. And if you give yours to the devil, you're wicked. You hear me? You're wicked. Cease to learn that which causeth thee to err. It is wrong to teach a child evolution. It is wrong to teach a child humanism. It is wrong to put a condom in the hand of a boy or a girl. It's wicked. It's wrong. It's corrupt. It's feral. It's rotten. You say, well, some of these home schools, they don't really educate their children like they should. It ain't none of your business. I'd rather have my daughter waddle into heaven, amen, like a hippopotamus, than slither into hell like a serpent. Besides that, if they can't read too good, they'll never read one of them books that'll corrupt them. Who cares? Education is not our Savior. Jesus is. Amen. 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 The origin of the species is in our book. The Bible is. Amen. Let me ask you, where are all treasures of wisdom and knowledge hid? Where are they all hid? No, they're all hid someplace. Where? Where, brother? Stand up and say that.
In Jesus Christ.
All treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid in who?
Jesus Christ.
How are you going to educate a child without Jesus Christ?
Amen.
That's good.
That's
good.
That's great.
You're going against the Word of God.
Amen.
You're joining hands with the devil.
Woo! Yes, amen. Yes.
I know why you won't homeschool.
Yeah.
Your brat will drive you bananas, and you know it. And you're not going to keep that brat at home all day long. So you'll just shirk your duty and turn your children over to who? Pharaoh. And what does Pharaoh say? I know not God. I will not what? I will not obey him. I know not the Lord. Now, it's not a sin for you to have your children in public school. But after you've prayed about it and thought about it, it's a sin for you to keep them there.
Yes, sir.
And say, well, maybe the school principal will give me trouble. You act like a man. It won't take that little sissy long to get his nose out of your house.
Amen.
We still have freedoms you don't know about. The state of Ohio told us 10 years ago, will you please get out of our hair? Will you please get away from us? Will you please quit suing us and causing us trouble? Just go on and have a Christian school, and as long as you keep the state compulsory education law, just go ahead and have one. Just have the parents tell us where the kids is going to school and let us alone. You have more rights than you think you've got. And by the way, if we had joined every association and lost God, They'd sink us. But as long as God's on our side and you're doing what God told you to do, God will deliver you and God will protect you. You cannot leave your children, amen, for their minds to be raped and polluted by the state of Ohio or any other state. You can't do it. It's wicked as hell. I dare you preachers who don't have Christian school, who have children in high school, I dare you preachers to sit down and have a frank discussion about what actually goes on in a high school, in the halls, in the classrooms. I dare you to talk to the kids about it.
Come on.
Amen.
60% of the girls in a public high school now do not have one partner
They have two. Some as many as 10. It is a moral cesspool out of hell. You'll lose
yes.
your children.
You're right. Amen.
Now, if everybody in this room drinks, everybody in this room won't be a drunk. But if everybody in this room drinks, we'll have several drunks. And we ain't supposed to have any. We're not supposed... Children are a heritage of what? The Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. And we cannot turn our children over to a communistic, atheistic, corrupt, immoral, amoral, wicked, low down. I mean, you cannot walk in the counsel of the ungodly and be blessed. Last, fourth compromise. Pharaoh's about wore out. And Pharaoh said, hey, let me ask you this. Why in the world would Pharaoh, he's the ruler of Egypt, why would he want to compromise with a sheep herder like Moses? Because he knows he's what? He knows he's defeated. He knows he can't keep them. He's just trying to conserve what he can. The devil's defeated. That's why he wants you to compromise. Preacher, you ought to look like what a compromise... I had my wife make me a shirt so I'd always know what a compromiser looks like. It's a golf shirt on this side and a dress shirt on this side. This side has a tie and this side doesn't. You say, that looks ridiculous. That's what you look like. Last compromise. Look. And Pharaoh said unto Moses, go serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and herds... let your little ones go. What's he want now? He wants your wealth. He wants your wealth. You don't have to get off of your behind now to shop. You can just sit on your television and just call 900 or 800 numbers and buy. They'll send anything. I mean, just get that credit card and run that thing through that machine. We was out shopping and the little girl that was with us noticed the license plates, and it said, I can't be overdrawn. There's still checks in my book. The devil wants you in debt. The devil wants you applying for one credit card to pay off the next credit card. The devil wants you to have everything right now to where you and your wife will have to go to work.
Go ahead. Amen.
And when your children get out of public school, they can either come home to an empty house or they can go to some other worldly state institution and be looked after and be polluted and corrupted even more. Maybe even molested in an authorized, sanitized, licensed institution. Nobody leads a license to do anything like that but a queer or a whoremonger or amen. People who apply for licenses like that. Churches with daycare centers. God help you. Helping the devil. You know why churches... you know, Brother Jim, you know why churches have day schools and not Christian school? Because there ain't no money in Christian school, but there's a lot of money in that day. There ain't no money in Christian school, but there's a lot of money in that babysitting. And you know who pays that money?
Come on.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, the government does.
Yeah. Come on.
Say, well, we got all these facilities, and we can use them. Well, why don't you open up a beer joint? There's more money in that. Or a dance hall. Or, amen, do something honest. Put an archery range right down the main aisle of the church. Amen. Amen. Well, y'all got quiet on me then, didn't you? And then they want me to pray for them and go to court for them so they can have daycare centers. Babysit. If you have Christian school and home school, you won't need no babysitter. Mama will be home bringing up her children. Amen. 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 Amen.
Get
her
back home.
Amen.
Ring our bell.
Good preacher.
The devil wants you in debt. He wants you to move up in your car. You know how it is, you know, don't you? Well, I'm just putting a lot of money in this. So you buy a car, amen, you're putting $300 or $400 a year in that old car with a muffler and the brakes. So what you need to do is put $300 or $400 or $500 a month. That's right. No missionary program, no offering for God, no sacrifice for God. And he said, you go on out there. You go on out there. Get as far as you want. But as long as you've got nothing to worship and serve God with, I don't care. Won't be long. They'll be back, won't they? No herds, no cattle, no sacrifice for God, no burnt offering. They'll be back. He knows they'll be back. And they'll come back and they'll rebuild Egypt for him. What does Moses say? Not so. Not so. We'll take our wives. We'll take our little ones. We'll take our... He says, not a hoof will be left in Egypt. You hear that, Pharaoh? We're leaving nothing.
Amen.
We're getting out.
Glory to God.
And I'm going to tell you what. When the blood was applied, what'd they do? They went out, and the Bible says they went out with a high hand. I've got the awfulest sense of humor. You wouldn't believe the things that I think are funny. One of the funniest things in the Bible is Pharaoh standing there, and he's got his servant. He says, give me my helmet. And he puts on that tin helmet, and put this breastplate on. He gets that brass breastplate on, and he gets some greaves on his legs, and amen, he says, give me them. And he puts on, that sucker puts on some steel-toed shoes. And gets in an iron chariot and begins to chase folks across the sea. And when the water came in, what'd he do? All that junk he had to protect himself, what'd it do? It drowned him good, man. It held him to the bottom. Isn't that funny? Don't you think that's funny? Can't you see Pharaoh down there? I like it. God drowned him. Now I'm through. I'm going to ask you one more question. How many that were under the blood that had the Passover lamb, how many came out of Egypt? Come on. Oh, wait a minute now. You don't believe that, see, because we believe that people get saved and they just still keep their worldly life. Who's ever called on the name of the Lord is saved. We believe that, don't we? Eternally secure. Living right there in Egypt. Now, I'm telling you, son, all that got under the blood, what happened? They all got out. How far did they get out?
All the way.
They got all the way out. They got out there 3 days' journey, and they said, what are we going to eat? And God said, don't worry about it. Bread will rain on you. They said, what are we going to drink? And God says, don't worry about it. I got this cross here. I'll pitch it in this bitter water and it'll be sweet. They said, well, we'll run out of water. And God said, look, I'll smite this rock and water will come. That's good, wasn't it? How far out did they get? Well, how much power did Pharaoh have over them? Boy, don't you know when you got saved, the devil's power over you was broken? And he can't take an inch of ground away from you unless you what? Compromise and what? Give it to him. Why do you want to give your life to that which is not? Why don't you give it to Jesus? Why don't you get 3 days? Why don't you come to this altar and say, God, I don't understand all this, but I know I was baptized. I know I was buried in His likeness. I know I was raised to walk in the newness of life. God, I want to submit myself that I'll fulfill my baptism in my life. And those of you who, your children, are caught in that trap and where, in that public institution, why don't you get them out of there? Say, well, I'll wait till midterm. Why? Why would you wait till midterm? I wouldn't wait till any term. It might be. It might be. Why don't you, your finances are in a mess, why don't you come and tell God, God, I don't have nothing because I've spent it all on that which is naught. Why don't you come? Hey. Submit yourself to God. Come on. Resist the devil, and he'll what? He'll flee from you, have him around just as much. He has just as much power and authority in your life as you give him. Get rid of him. Get out of Egypt. Get out of the Egyptian school. Get out of the Egyptian. Get out of the... Amen. Some of you need to take your credit cards and cut them up.
Yes.
So I don't have the maturity to handle this thing. I'm broke all the time. I'm in debt up to my ears. I need deliverance. You don't have any sacrifice, any offering for God. You don't have nothing because you've spent it all. You could be delivered tonight. We've got a greater than Moses. Moses says, God will raise up a prophet, what? Like unto me. Moses was the only man that God just spoke to face to face, just like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our Moses. Now, what's the devil going to do with him? How is the devil going to ruin our lives, our family, and our marriages? He's only going to do it if we what? If we compromise. We let down. A good family in my church, and their daughter came up pregnant. He came to me and he said, I know you have to do something about it. I know the church has to meet. He says, I know that. But he said, I want to stand with my daughter because it's my fault. I gave in. I let her go. People do that every day, don't they? They give in. They let go. The devil puts the pressure on, and we want it off. So we give in. Amen. Amen. Brother Greg, God bless you. Thank you, sir.
Ready?
Some of them